Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of TaxPlanIQ Software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. Let's go, y'all. Hey there, I'm Dr. Jackie Meyer, CPA, and welcome to the Concierge CPA podcast. Before we dive in, here's something exciting. TaxPlanIQ users are saving their clients an average of $40,000 in taxes per taxpayer while selling large tax plans. TaxPlanIQ is the ultimate resource for tax advisors. With nearly 500 firms on board, we're helping advisors build skills, grow confidence, and connect with a vibrant community. Want to learn more? Visit taxplaniq.com/podcast for exclusive discounts, resources, and other things mentioned in this episode. Now let's jump in. Welcome back. We've got a special guest today that I met too briefly at GrowCon recently in the last couple months, Reza Huda, born and bred in the UK. And we realized kind of through LinkedIn connecting after the fact, he has a beautiful book that seems very similar to concepts that I've been promoting here in the US, but also had a very similar past. So I wonder if we're, twinsies from overseas. I don't know. But welcome, Reza. It's nice to have you.
Great to be here, Jackie. And it's a shame we didn't get to talk properly at GrowCon, but hopefully.
Yeah, and then you sat, we both were in first class on the way back to Dallas, and you were over there, and I was like, oh, maybe I should talk to him. And then I was like, no, my introverted personality, I'm like, I just need to rest.
You and me both. We're both the same.
Yeah. But I had your book right in front of me, so that was pretty cool. So yeah, fill everyone in a little bit more on your background.
Sure. So similar to yourself, my background is Big Four. I trained with PwC in the tax department. I only got into tax because I thought it would be easier to get into, because whilst everybody else was applying for audit, I thought, well, tax sounds really boring and nobody applies for tax. So let me apply for tax, because they make audit sound very sexy and interesting. They call it advisory and all this, but we all really know that it's not. So right. I applied for tax because I thought I probably don't just stand a chance to get in audit. So I applied for tax and I got in, and then, you know, a year later was so thankful I did, because whilst I was just doing the 9 to 5, my audit colleagues were doing 16, 17 hour days and traveling up and down the country, which is a novelty at first, but it soon grates on you. So that was my start at PwC. I was there for about 5.5 years, did my CA qualification there, and I did the what's known as the Chartered Tax Advisor qualification to become a tax advisor in the UK. 5.5 years, got to manager, and then decided to leave because I wanted to set up my own business. I never quite got that harebrained idea to start a business as anything else. Managed to stumble into a conversation with my father-in-law one weekend when we were visiting him, and he said, I'm looking to retire. He had a very small practice that he had been running since 1982, and he wanted to retire. He was talking to other firms about selling out. And I suggested, well, why don't I buy in with a friend of mine at PwC who I was going to go to into business with and something else. And the rest is history. So that was kind of the start. But I'll let you lead in terms of where you want me to take the story next.
Okay, yeah. So you start a firm, or you acquire a firm from your father-in-law. What state was it in, looking back? Was it in, you know, a beautiful state, like zero firms, or were there a lot of problems?
There was a lot of problems. Yeah. It was a very traditional firm. As you can imagine, this is going back to 2008. And funny enough, not funny enough, but it's actually when I decided to hand my notice in at PwC, I got a loan to buy the practice. And then suddenly got one problem after the next. My friend pulls out, so I've got to borrow more money to be able to buy the practice. A month later, the world goes into financial meltdown, the crisis of 2008, and the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. But I was already too far gone, so I'm making the move whilst all this is going on. And my colleagues at PwC thought I was crazy. But what was even crazier was how I ran that business in the first 5 years. But we'll get on to that. The firm was very traditional, very old school, fully kind of paper-based, nothing electronic, nothing digital. My father-in-law was, the way he worked was he used to get his secretary to print out emails. He would read the email. He would then write a response onto a piece of paper, hand the piece of paper back to his secretary. He would type it up and send it out. That
wow.
Of, yeah.
That's crazy.
He had a computer. They had one computer. So, you know, I guess they were a little bit ahead of others who perhaps didn't. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I started my CPA firm in 2010, and we were completely paperless from the start, but it was because I had gotten exposure to CCH and, you know, paperless scanning and all this junk. Mm. So I get it. I mean, most firms were in that situation. I don't know about printing emails per se, but right. But, you know, to each their own, right? So,
absolutely. Yeah.
So the firm started in a, you know, pretty traditional state. Where did you take it and what happened from there?
Yeah. So there was initial, you know, I was excited in terms of the wanting to modernize it and bring it into the 21st century. And there were some things from PwC that were good, like similar to yourself. PwC had gone paperless back in 2008 or 7 when I had just left. So I saw what was possible. So I started with some quick wins. I started to digitalize and we went completely paperless around 2011. Things like that, internal processes. But the thing that eluded me was I was still pricing by the hour. In fact, I did something very backward, which I am very anti now, but I actually introduced timesheets in the practice. They didn't have timesheets. I introduced timesheets. Okay. And now people who know me know that I'm very anti-timesheet. So I introduced timesheets because I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. Because when you do your accountancy training, nobody teaches you how to run a business.
Right.
Nobody teaches you how to price your services. Nobody teaches you how to win work. Nobody teaches you how to lead and manage your team. So you end up just winging it, which is what I did for the first 5.5 years. Didn't really get very far, trading my time for money, working crazy hours, not seeing my young family. And 5.5 years later, it was a struggle to get clients. It was a struggle to keep people. It was a struggle to make money. It was a struggle to have that freedom that I wanted, which was the driver to set up my business in the first place. I just wanted that freedom to be able to live life on my terms, work when I wanted to work when I want, where I want, spend time with who I want. But I was in a glorified job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I think so many of us start our own companies thinking we'll gain back that control and then we lose it all because you're right, we're not trained in appropriate boundaries. We're not trained in pricing. So how did you figure it out?
Great question. So it was... I tell this story often because I'm sitting in my office late one evening going through the barrage of emails that I'm getting every single day trying to respond to clients. And I see an email come through for an invitation to a webinar on practice growth, promising to solve all my problems. Now, things couldn't possibly get any worse. So I thought, what the
hell?
Yeah,
you're like, okay, sure, let's do it, right?
Let's do it. You know, I can't get worse, so why not? So I register and I attend and... That was my epiphany moment which planted the seed that ultimately led to the transformation of my journey and my results. And what I learned that day was that there's an alternative to trading time for money. What I learned that day was that I had to invest in myself to become a better business owner, to learn those business skills, to do the best for my clients, my team, and ultimately myself and my family. So off the back of that webinar, I joined a mentoring program to learn more. This was from someone who had undergone a similar journey, who had run a practice, done it the wrong way, found a mentor, worked with them to get results, and now they were giving back to other accountants, teaching them how to price, how to market, how to sell, that kind of stuff, mainly around pricing. So I joined that and started to learn more. Skeptical at first, but started to implement what I was learning and got results. So I implemented more and then I got bigger and better results. And within a couple of years, we'd gone from struggling, frustrated, chasing clients for invoices of 500 to £1,000 to then winning a one-off project of £135,000, taking our firm to 7 figures in revenue with just 7 people. And best of all, me working less than 10 hours a week in the practice.
Wow. So, and what, let's get into the depth here, because people, you know, they're either have been in that situation or really want to know what's the practical steps here. So like, how did you, what was this engagement that you landed for so much? What were you doing?
It was just a tax advisory project, but
yeah,
it was all about how I priced. So okay, that was sort of two and a half years after I started my journey of experimenting with value pricing. So moving away, ultimately, that's where I started with pricing. So moving away from charging for time to charging based upon value. Now, everybody says charge based upon value, but what is value? You know, as accountants, we can't fathom it. It's so abstract. Now, what the hell is value?
But it's not abstract with tax advisory, because you can estimate tax savings. It's like the easiest ROI in the world, right?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, that's so amazing. So that's like exactly what I did. And then I ended up just creating a whole pricing methodology, which lucky enough, the AICPA mass released a couple weeks ago. So we're finally making progress. But yeah, I think that's so neat. I was just shuffling around because embarrassingly enough, I have like 12 books in front of me. So I was finding yours.
It's a bright yellow one. It looks like, oh, you got it. Yay.
Yeah, it's right here. Yeah. But I've got, oh my gosh, I've got so many books. I'm such a bookworm. I've got Five Levels of Leadership. I've got my friend Rory's new book that just came out on CPA Trend Lines. I got to show my listeners all the things I'm reading because I'm a weirdo like that. Sweet Success by Candace Nelson. Five Mere Christians by Jordan Rayner. This is not good. I'm like, I think obsessed with learning. But yeah, so I opened your book and I was like, holy moly, the four pillars. This is exactly what I learned for myself. Yeah. So tell us more about it. Like, there's so much insight in here. I love it. What prompted you to write this book?
So again, just my journey of what I did in what order to get the results that I got. And so my journey transformed between 2014 and 2019. 2014, I was that struggling CPA, frustrated, not having the clients that I want, working all hours under the sun, and just not having the business that I dreamt I would have when I first set up. You know, 3-4 years later, after implementing what I had done, learning from somebody else, because like I said, we don't have those business skills. I didn't know what I didn't know. And only after learning about pricing and marketing and sales, and then having the confidence to implement the stuff and getting results. And pricing is a lot about, not only is it about pricing the value, but it's also about confidence. The more confident you are, the higher a price you will ask for. The reason you're not getting a higher price at the moment, first and foremost, is because you're not asking for it. So guess what? You're never going to get it, right?
Right. So,
initially, I was pricing projects. You know, I started out at, you know, a few thousand for, say, tax advisory based upon results. Let's say that might have been, you know, 5% of the tax saving. And it's, you know, you feel a bit nervous, but you go for it and you get it. And that gives you confidence. The next engagement, my biggest in 2016 was a fee of $66,000 for a tax advisory property incorporation. And I thought, wow, I was like blown away. How on earth did a client accept that kind of fee? And I thought that will never be beaten. But 2 years later, I had the opportunity to price again. And again, I was playing, can I, you know, is it 135? Is that too much? Is it too little? Could I get more?
Sure.
And my confidence level there was $135,000, right? Today, it's probably double that. But it's just, again, it evolves, right?
Every new engagement, you gain more and more confidence in it, right? But also in the results that you can bring to the table. And I think that's a big component too, is like you are able to drastically, positively impact people's lives, their businesses, their legacies through all of this. I mean, there's just so much to it. Now, I want to hear how you kind of explain quickly to someone. I tell people like pricing changes everything in the firm. Like when you change pricing and your value pricing, it naturally kind of fixes every other problem that we tend to have as accountants, right? How would you succinctly explain that to somebody?
I love this. I would say pricing is the most powerful lever in the profit equation. When you change your price, it flows straight through to the bottom line. So without doing any extra work, without hiring anybody else, you have got more profit on the bottom line by just working on your pricing. And when you have more profit, then you can invest in better people and better systems
exactly.
to be able to remove what you are doing at the moment. So if you're time strapped, the key is increase your prices, get better at pricing so you have the funds to then go away and invest in people and systems to take the load off you. So yeah, big believer in terms of working on your pricing first and foremost.
Yeah, that's great. And your book is just so practical through like pricing, positioning, process. These are your pillars, right? And then people. What are you kind of most like, I guess, proud of from the book? Or is there a moment, something in the book that people tend to overlook that you're like, you really need to hone in on this particular section?
Oh, so many. But I think the, if we... If we're talking about, you know, you're into tax advisory, people listening to this are into tax advisory, I have literally spelled out everything that I have done, the whole practically what you can implement as well. So chapter five, if you look, it's called pricing one-off projects or something. Yeah. So there I have not held anything back. I've literally given away exactly how I priced one-off projects and got that fee of $135,000. There's screenshots of the exact way I laid out the presentations. So if nothing else, that chapter in itself can give you a like six figures in value by just reading that one chapter from a book that you can get for free, just pay shipping and handling.
Hey, it's Dr. Jackie. Are you enjoying today's episode? If you are, here's how you can support the podcast. Like, share, and subscribe to the Concierge CPA podcast to help us reach even more listeners. Continue the discussion and connect with other accounting professionals in the Accounting Firm Influencers Facebook group or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I love that. And I was reading when I kind of randomly like opened it to first read it on the plane home from GrowCon, I saw your notes about packaging and that's a very important component as well. So tell us more about, some people are confused or they're not sure. Do I do a one-time tax planning engagement? Do I put someone on an ongoing package? What's your opinion on that?
Absolutely. So there is a, we have, in my practice, we have, you know, we have clients that we do ongoing work for, i.e. compliance work. And for that, we charge monthly. And that monthly fee is made up of different variables. So we don't need, we don't charge by the hour. So the question is, well, how do you charge? We charge based upon variables, which I explain in chapter four of the book. Having a systemized approach to pricing, looking at the scope of the client, the risk of the client. So these are all the internal factors that drive up price. I mean, you, if you want to, you can think, right, what makes a certain job take you longer? Look at scope. If somebody has 20 properties compared to two properties, that's going to take you longer. So that's scope, right? Someone has 50 employees or five employees, that's going to take you longer. That's scope. So we ask scope questions to understand what is the scope of this client to then assign a number to that. Then we have exactly that. Yeah, complexity, the more complex a client, the more complex their affairs, that can drive the price as well in terms of having a risk multiple. I guess the best analogy is to look at how does the insurance market work? If you go and if you're looking for insurance for your house or for your car, you're going to be asked a series of questions. How much is your car worth? Where is it parked? Do you have a tracker? Do you, you know, what is your profile? What is your age? How many accidents have you had? You know, how many points do you have in your license? How many, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the insurance company is building up a picture of your, of the scope, complexity, risk of insuring you.
Exactly.
Then we have external drivers in terms of how does the client want to work with you in terms of, does the client want access to you or are they happy to have access to a junior? Access to you should be more expensive than access to a junior member of your team. do they want to meet with you in person or are they happy with Zoom calls? In person should be more expensive than having Zoom calls with you. Do they want to meet every quarter or are they happy with a once a year meeting? Quarterly would be more expensive than once a year. So this is the principle that different people value things differently. Mm-hmm. We don't know what people's value preferences are unless we ask them, right. Unless we give them options. Just like when you travel, some people may have the money, but they'll sit in coach. Yeah. But some people will want to upgrade to business or first. But if the airline didn't give you the option, you wouldn't be able to pay them more money for a more preferential treatment option. So ultimately, we've got to give clients choice in pricing and certainty in pricing. They need to know exactly what they're going to get and be able to choose which package they want to go for. Because when we allow the customer control of the buying process, we get a better result. Just like when you go and buy a car, you choose the model of the car between three options. Then you add on your alloys, your tinted windows, your panoramic sunroof, your 25-inch alloys, based upon what you value. Come up with a figure, and it might be beyond your budget, but you then get, you don't want to take things off. So again, this is all pricing psychology at play. Supplier gets a better result by giving you choice in the process.
I love it. So most valuable thing you offer, or you should offer, unlimited email and telephone support to all clients. It's like I'm reading my own words. Okay, so Reza, here's the cool thing. Here's what's so cool for our listeners. We had no idea about one another before GrowCon or any of this. And my ROI method is literally almost exactly the same as your pricing methodology. So instead of scope, I use urgency. And I use what's called curb factor. So we find estimated tax savings, and then we apply complexity of the engagement, urgency of the engagement, risk of the engagement, and then what I call intangible benefits. That's all these external drivers, right? Yes. So guys, gals, listen, this is like common sense. Everyone needs to be doing this stuff. It's not rocket science, right? And I bet as soon as you realized it and put it all together, you're like, why isn't everyone doing this, right? Mm. Why isn't everyone doing this, Reza?
Because they're not listening to me and you. Yeah, but to be fair, we both went on a journey. We were at a stage where we were clueless. Like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and we hit that low. And I saw you speaking at GrowCon for part of your session about how it impacted your family. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Like, I mean, what really drives you at the end of the day? Like, what really drove you to make all these changes?
Yeah, great question. It was just the desire to build a firm that gives me that time, money, and freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've titled the book, How to Build an Accounting Firm That Gives You Time, Money, and Freedom, because that's what I always wanted. I didn't want anyone to tell me what to do. That's why I left PwC. I always wanted to be in business. I didn't mind putting in the work, but it's a case of, as long as I had a business at the end of it and not a glorified job. Uh-huh. And that was always the ambition, to build a business that makes me proud, that allows me to do the stuff that I want to do on my terms. And now I just it doesn't feel like work. Like, I love business. I love the marketing. I love the sales, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't feel like
work. Are you still in a firm? I missed that part, or I haven't read that yet. Are you still in the firm, or have you exited?
I still have the firm, but cool. I don't have any client contact. I just do the marketing stuff. So
nice.
About 3 years ago, I launched a new brand called Capture Accounting. And this was a marketing test. So I talk a lot about positioning in terms of how to get clients. And since I started teaching accountants, the biggest challenge that I kept hearing was, how do we get new clients? So I was teaching accountants through my mentoring program about how I niched into real estate, into property investors, and how that helped us to get those big tax advisory projects. And in 2021, after teaching it for a couple of years, I thought, well, why not I, rather than just teach you again, I'll do it with you. I'll set up a brand new firm with a new name, a new logo, a new audience, and everything that I teach, I'll do with you in real time. And the promise of the course was zero to 100K in 12 months. So if I think of the RSL, that'll be serious egg on my face.
Sure.
Thankfully, we got
there. Technically, that's like one client, right? So you probably could do it.
Yeah, but this was more a compliance-based firm rather than tax advisory.
Oh, so this was, I see. Okay, so a little more challenging. All right.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so that's when Capture Accounting was born. Now it's the fastest growing brand in our firm. It's dedicated for accountants, for content creators and influencers. So we've ridden the wave of just targeting your Instagrammers, YouTubers, TikTokers of this world. And now the firm continues to grow. Without me, I spend less than a few hours a week. I just do the marketing stuff, and the firm is running. It's my playground. So I test things in the firm, and then I share with my accountant's audience. Do this, it works. Don't do this, it doesn't work, because I've tried it.
Yeah, very cool. Wow. Okay. So because we are trying to shorten our podcast interviews to 30 minutes, we're going to have to wrap up soon. We might have to do a follow-up episode because I have a lot more questions for you. But I am going to ask you a few rapid fire questions because it's just fun. Sure. Before we do that, do you have anything else in particular you wanted to make sure and share with, this US-based accounting audience that we have here?
Sure. So I think we didn't touch much on positioning, but that is something that I'm quite vocal and passionate about, mm-hmm. because the number one challenge I hear from accountants in my community is that, how do we get new clients?
Yeah.
And the reason why people struggle is that they're trying to be all things to all people. And when you try and appeal to everyone, you actually appeal to no one.
Right.
So you need to get really crystal clear on who you serve, niche down in terms of either niche by industry or by activity, but have some kind of differentiating factor.
Yeah.
Because
you've got your triangle formula here. Yeah.
Because if you don't differentiate yourself, the only thing differentiating you from the CPA down the road is price. And that's never a good thing because that's a road to the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. And then I have to call out, why start with who? So I used to coach several hundred accountants in small group masterminds. And I would say, don't start with a why. I love Simon Sinek and that whole principle, but I would always add, start with a who, just like you're recommending here. So it's so important to start with the person that you're working with, what their goals are, what they value, like you said. This is just gold. So, you even mentioned Simon here. That was another thing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like exactly what I talk about. We like think exactly the same. It's so cool. Yeah, it's been such a pleasure having you on for sure. And y'all need to go out, get this book and read it, implement everything. Let's go ahead and do a few rapid fire questions and then we will wrap up. Sound good?
Go for it.
Okay. So these are a little more technical for accountants than I normally do, but I'm going to go for it. So what do you think the most overrated KPI is in an accounting firm?
Utilization rates.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, you mentioned that. You mentioned time, your biggest mistake in life was timesheets, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, podcast or book every new owner should consume, other than yours, of course. What inspired you the most? What book or podcast?
My favorite marketing book has to be Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller.
Yes, that's a great one. Okay, awesome. And what's your favorite tech tool right now?
Ooh, so many. I think both Claude and ChatGPT are doing some crazy things at the moment, and we are using it, and it's blowing my mind in terms of how it's creating content for us like never before. So it represents a huge opportunity for any accountant wanting to become an expert in their space to leverage AI. So you don't have to sit there and write the blog post or the social post. You just give it access to your brain and stuff that you have done and know how to prompt it, and it will be a content generation machine for you.
Very cool. Yeah. What's one word that clients should never hear if you're giving them a proposal?
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, like be prepared, right? Awesome. And what's one hidden talent your team doesn't even know you have?
Hidden talent. Wow. Now you've got me on that question.
Can you dance? Can you sing? You like to fish? What do you do outside of work? You're probably a workaholic like me. That's why we got ourselves in these pickles, huh?
That is very true. And no, I don't have many hobbies at all. I just like playing pickleball and paddle. What else? I speak French. There you go.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's a cool one. Awesome. Do you like to travel a lot?
I love traveling, yeah.
Yeah, travel is a lot of fun for sure. And had you been to the U.S.? I'm trying to remember if you'd said that was your first trip to the U.S. for GrowCon, or was it just the first conference in the U.S.?
It was the first conference where I was speaking, and the first time I'd been to the U.S. for about 15 years, so a long time.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what did you think of good old Provo, Utah?
I loved it. I was very impressed. I didn't know what to expect, but I was, I was sending pictures to my wife and said, you would love it here.
It is beautiful. Yes, it's very beautiful. Although, there's a lot of rules around no drinking and all this stuff that you're like, what's happening? What world am I in? So, yeah, it's so funny. Wherever you go in the country, it's just so different. Yeah. But yeah. Okay, cool. Well, where can listeners connect with you further or learn more about your community, the marketing company you mentioned, things like that?
Sure. LinkedIn's the best place. Connect on LinkedIn. I'm happy to send you a link which you can share with listeners to give them a copy of the free book. There's a link where you can make shipping and handling, and my office will ship a physical copy out to your audience in the States, wherever, no worries. But yeah, LinkedIn is the best place to catch me. I've got a YouTube channel actually as well. So LinkedIn, YouTube are probably the best platforms.
And what's your YouTube channel called?
My name, Reza Huda.
Awesome. Okay, very cool.
I'm the same on all the channels. I think I'm the only Reza Huda in the world, so easy to find.
Oh, look at you, fancy pants. Okay. Awesome. Well, this was really fun. Reza, thank you so much for your time today. I definitely do want the link to send to people for the book, and then any other resources we'll put in the show notes for sure. Thanks everyone for listening. I hope you got something insightful, helpful, positive out of our session today, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. So take care, y'all.
Thank you.
I appreciate you listening all the way to the end. It truly means a lot. As a thank you, I'd love to give you a free gift, my value pricing calculator and proposal workbook. This tool has helped tax advisors create eight-figure tax plans and save over $1 billion for their clients. You can now download it at taxplaniq.com/ROI-method. Thank you for being part of this journey, and I'll see you next time on the Concierge CPA podcast. Take care, y'all. Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.